Presenting Truths Podcast.
For any of you out there that have any questions that you think are dumb, well, we got some dumb answers for you.
This is like what seems like the dumbest question, but I feel like there's got to be other people out there who have like the same question as me, who are trying to get into it. So I wanted to talk about it, and ask other questions along the way. But, you know, Mike, what's a girl or other hunter got to do to get a trail cam out there and get a buck pick?
I think it comes down, to be honest with you, to trial and error. I think you can, depending on the timing, there's so many variables, right? Like during the rut, the bucks are everywhere. So it all depends on where they're tending does. I mean, there's 100 answers, but the short answer would be to try different pinch points, you know, where your woods come down, try different, you know, on trails, different crossings along creeks, you know, basically where deer are funneling and there's high concentrations coming into food plots and different things, is where you want to be. Your deer are going to get in there, and when the acorns start falling, you need to be near acorns because they're going to be in there eating on them. And early in the season, you're going to want to be near, let's say you got some bean fields, you're up here in Michigan, you're going to want to be near that transition on them pinch points out to the bean fields where them bachelor groups of bucks are sticking together.
So across the board, people who are trying to get into deer hunting, their big question is, want to get into it, what the heck do I use? Right off the rip, want to talk about kind of the difference between bow hunting and gun hunting for beginners.
When it comes to archery, my personal opinion is, there's a lot of opinions out there, but my personal opinion is, when you're new and when you're getting involved, you want to make sure that you're successful, or if you're helping somebody get involved, they're successful. So as much as a lot of guys don't like these crossbows, I think a crossbow is a great way to get into the industry, be successful, make an ethical, clean shot. You know, if you don't have the skill set or mentorship to have shot a compound bow and to get into that whole world of archery, which is awesome. Yeah. I think getting a compound bow, just a good entry level, nothing too expensive, and, you know, being able to practice with that and go out and make an ethical shot out to, 40, 50 yards. Yeah. You know, I shouldn't say 50, out to about 40 yards probably. You know, whatever's the cleanest, most ethical, humane way, I think is the best.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So if we're going to talk about rifles really quick, then if someone's trying to get into it, then what is a gun or two maybe that you would recommend for someone getting into it, right? They don't know if they're like the most diehard deer hunter that's ever walked the earth yet. So they're looking for something that's going to last them maybe, a few years. It's not going to break the bank because they're not sure that they love it yet. But it's going to function. It's not something that they have to worry about, a ton of maintenance. It's not the most complicated thing in the world. What's a good gun for them to go out and find?
So I'm going to speak specifically to Michigan, because I think when you start getting into other states, there's other answers, right? Okay. And there's more answers than what I'm going to give for Michigan. But in Michigan, you got your 450 Bushmaster. You have, for years, guys have got the 870 Express, Remington. They use that for years.
Okay.
That's a good all-around gun. You can shoot ducks, you can shoot geese, you can shoot turkeys, you can shoot deer. But I think that 450 throughout the state is good if you're going to go what they call rifle hunting for deer, because there is a shotgun zone and then there's a rifle zone, and that 450 is good for either, right?
Okay.
Whereas a slug gun, you get up in the woods in northern Michigan, it's not going to have the range that 450. Not that 450 has a lot of range, but you can shoot out to 300 if you have it sighted in properly and do the right things.
Question. If I don't sound very good, is it better for me to sit there and not call, or is it better for me to try, maybe sound like a dying bird, and work on it, but maybe not sound very good and flare some geese and birds and stuff? What am I better off doing? Because in the end, right, you're still going out there, you still want to harvest some birds. So where are we at with that? What are your thoughts?
I think that the best answer for that would be to not call right away and spend your time scouting and understanding where the birds are going. Be where the birds want to be.
Okay.
Find where they're feeding, find where they're resting, get in there, set up and have an understanding of what they sound like, so you understand what you need to sound like.
Right? Okay.
Unless you're going to take some time and go out and buy a video like Sean Stahl's Bad Grammar or whatever it may be, right? There's a lot of instructional videos that you can get your hands on, especially with YouTube and stuff, and you can understand how to manipulate the reed. Whether it be a goose call, a duck call, and what you need to sound like.
Okay. But
being out there with the birds, maybe even if you're just out scouting, I spend countless hours just watching them, understanding how they're trading, what they're doing, and when it's time to go hunt, right? So what I'm getting at is, be where the birds want to be, go in and spend some time hunting them. And my opinion, especially locally here and on small bodies of water, less is more, and you don't really need to say a whole lot.
Okay.
Especially earlier in the season, before you start messing with migrators and you start messing, you know, with them late season mallards coming down. They're looking for friends. They're looking for that feed. You know, they're wanting that chuckle. They're wanting more vocalization. Earlier in the year, it's just, I don't think it's necessary. The easiest way to get involved and to get out there hunting is find somebody doing it. Or reach out to us. We can help you. I mean, we started that mentorship program. Just reach out and find somebody that's doing it and ask them. You know, just show a little interest. I think there's more people out here that want help than we think.
Yeah, probably.
Because I love nothing more than to helping people be successful. I'm getting ready to leave for Kentucky in 2 days, and I got 5 friends, and I'm already tagged out this year. Got lucky, right? So I'm going to be down there helping 5 people be successful for a week, and I think I'm more excited to go down there and to serve others and to help them through their success than I was to go down and the pressure of doing, you know, myself.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people out there that want to help people get involved. I think we just got to ask a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is a good way to open up and get people rolling, right? Start asking questions, yeah. And we'll start feeding them to people. How do they know what they're shooting at? Well, sometimes they probably won't know what they're shooting at. No. Terrible answer. But what I'm getting at is there's different ways that you can ID ducks. Size, the way they fly, the sounds that they make. Obviously, for a lot of you, you might know, I shouldn't say obviously, but a lot of you know that a hen mallard will quack, right? That's where the quack comes from. So you hear quack, quack. The drake mallard, you know, he'll dreeb, 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 you know, it's different noises. The way that I pay attention is the size of the duck, and I look at their wings a lot when they're flying. You know, green wing teal, obviously green wing. You know, the color spectrum on their wings is a lot of times how you identify. You got gadwall here, so... on a gadwall, you know, the coloration. So it being light enough and understanding what's coming by you and what they look like is really important. And to be honest with you, if you don't know, don't shoot.
Yeah.
I was out the other day and this guy was asking me, what do I do when I kill a deer? Like, what do I even do with this thing? Like, when you go, what do you even do once you shoot a deer? Well, let me tell you what you do. So when you're out hunting, and you, let's say you're lucky enough to have the privilege to, you know, be able to harvest an animal, whether it be a gun or bow, crossbow, whatever it may be, just, it's awesome you're out there. First thing you need to do, if you don't see the animal drop, just back out. It's hard to do, but just back out. If you did not see that animal, you know, pass, and you know it is not expired, and you're not for sure what type of shot or where it's at, back out, go back to the lodge, go back to your home, go back to your friend's house, go back to the truck, and just chill out. Mm-hmm. Give us some time. I always wait till the next morning. If I didn't see it die, I wait till the next morning. I don't take any chance.
Okay.
Because if you got a liver shot deer, or you have a gut shot deer, you know, a marginal shot, it might take 6, 8, 10, 12 hours for it to expire.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, our question of, I shot a deer, now what? Because everyone focuses on, I want to kill a buck, I want to kill a doe, yeah. I want to kill a deer, you know, and then it's like, now what the heck can I do with it? You know, like, oh,
so great. Once you find that animal, I suggest that you try to load that up onto a four-wheeler in the back of a truck, whatever means you have, go ahead and get at least that animal to the front of the property, and I actually take it off the property, and I got another farm where, depending on where I'm hunting, we got other farms where that's where we gut everything.
Okay.
So that way it's not where you're hunting. So you're not attracting any coyotes, feral cats, whatever it may be, skunks, you know, all the different predatory and just bothersome animals,
yeah.
In my opinion, you know, to make a mess of things. So anyway, you want to get that animal gutted. You want to get all the innards and everything out so that way it doesn't spoil. You don't spoil the meat, and that way you're not going to have any problems, especially if it's hot, right?
Yeah.
So you want to gut that animal, and then depending on your skill set or the skill set of your friends and family, whoever you're hanging out with, you know, then you start breaking it down. If it's really warm outside, the faster you can get it gutted and then get it to someplace that's cool, a processor or, you know, like early season when I'm down in Kentucky, we actually have a cooler. And that's plugged in right there next to the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
When any of us get a deer, we hurry up, we get that deer gutted, and we get it immediately, and we get it cooled down.
Okay.
If you want to get it started, Carly, what do you typically take as a female to the duck blind in the morning?
Yeah, so I guess my two things that I'm always thinking about when I'm going duck hunting, one is I'm always bringing a new friend. Duck hunting is something that I love sharing with my friends, family, and a community of people, regardless of their experience. So my goal always, and I managed to make it happen all fall, was to bring a new hunter with me. With new hunters comes questions, but it's really exciting. And the other thing that I like to bring for myself, and Corey does know this, and my new hunters, but I always bring snacks.
Yes, you are the snack queen.
As silly as it is, but...
And as you can see, I like snacks as well, so...
But you gotta, like, make it enjoyable, right? Make an experience where people are going to enjoy it. They want to come out again. Maybe, I always say, like, I can't control what the birds do, you know, or whatever sport you find yourself hunting, you know, when you're out in the field hunting, you can't control what the animals are doing, right? Yeah. But I can control that I'm out there with friends and I'm having fun.
Yeah.
You can control
morale.
Yeah. And I can control that we've got snacks. Contribute to morale. Yeah. And I usually bring hot coffee or hot chocolate. I know that sounds silly, but like, I think people now like plan on it as a staple of my hunts.